Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
So joining us now from Paradise Valley, Arizona, is Dilara Hafiz and her son, Imran Hafiz. Dilara, thanks for joining us.
Good morning, John. Thanks for having us.
Last time you checked on Amazon, what was the sales rank of your book?
Well, actually, I left so early this morning, I didn't get a chance to check, but we have broken the 500 sales rank barrier, which is very exciting.
Which is very exciting for a book with the title The American Muslim Teenager's Handbook. It's something that Dilara wrote. She's a mom. She has two teenage kids, Yasmin and Imran. Imran, her son, is with her there in the studio. And first of all, why did you think that what is needed in America right now is a good handbook for American Muslim teenagers, Dilara?
Well, actually, my children are also the co-authors, and we wrote this book to not only explain the basics of Islam to American Muslims, but also to explain it to the non-Muslims who somehow feel that Muslims are the other, or that we heard so many misconceptions about Islam. We just wanted to put out an entertaining, educational handbook to Islam.
And Imran, quite literally, one of the myths you began to dispel in your own life was that if you're an American Muslim, you can't play soccer in the U.S. because you must be a member of the Taliban. Explain that story.
In like fourth or fifth grade, I was a victim of playground prejudice, I guess you could call it. Of course, hanging around with the guys, trying to play a pickup game of football or soccer or something like that, and of course they say, oh, well, you can't play, Imran, and usually that's due to my lack of soccer skills, but this time it was something different, and they said, oh, you can't play because you're in the Taliban, and of course the typical fourth grade response is, well, no, I'm not, and the other riposte is, well, how do you know you could be? And it's just the little things like that that you encounter in your daily life as an American Muslim that kind of offer a very different perspective. And after a while, I realized that their comments came not from hate, but from ignorance. And if they really knew about what Islam really could be or meant to me, then maybe that they wouldn't say things like that.
Well, one of the things to know about Islam in America is it is one of the fastest growing religions in the United States. Dilara, how much of your book is about dispelling ignorance as opposed to arguing against people who maybe have an overt distrust and perhaps hatred of the other?
Sure. It's actually quite a bit of both, because the combination of recognizing that Islam is an Abrahamic faith, just like Judaism and Christianity, there's such a diversity of observance and opinion across the faith. And somehow I feel Islam has been portrayed in a very monolithic manner. After 9/11, the extremists dominated the headlines, and there was no room for the moderates to really speak up and say, hang on a moment, we're Americans, we believe in freedom of religion, and we believe in equality and social justice. We just want to be good, productive citizens.
Now, explain how the book is laid out, because there are a couple of great sort of myth dispellers right off the top. For instance, Muslims don't worship Muhammad. Explain that one.
Sure. Muslims worship God, the one God, the God of Abraham, Moses, Jesus. And I think people sometimes hear the word Allah, which is the Arabic word for God. Personally, I don't speak Arabic. Not all Muslims speak Arabic. So in our book, we've used the word God just to dispel that, you know, one misconception right off the bat that Muslims do worship the same God as Jews and Christians.
Imran, if you had it to do differently, you're almost through your teen years. You got a couple more years to go, but you're 17, I understand.
Yep.
What would you do differently? And maybe as a way of kind of portraying this handbook on the air, what advice would you have for American Muslim teenagers to avoid that they could really get wrong easily?
I think that the biggest thing that I had to learn was don't take insults or things like that very personally. Sometimes when someone will say things that are, I mean, I've heard things like, you know, Muslims should be executed so they can get to hell faster and things like that. And of course, I mean, when you hear something like that, it's very easy to respond in a very vitriolic manner and say, well, of course, that's ridiculous, that's crazy, what are you talking about? And to some extent, I may have responded like that. But then if you respond with the same kind of fervor, then it stops progress because people are too worried about how the other person hurt their feelings.
Sure,
or
sure.
Like
well,
that.
Delara,
so
let
don't
me
take things personally, I guess.
And from the non-Muslim side, there's plenty in here to, you know, dispel myths and to make people feel good about this so-called other. There's selections in the book every couple of pages. Calling all teens. Here's a question: do you guys really fast? And one 12-year-old from Texas says, "Yes, every day of Ramadan. I started when I was 9." And Julia, age 12, from Arizona, says, "Yes, not a lot, but this year I'm going to try to fast for the whole month." I mean, you can sort of get a sense of the characters and the kids behind these issues that maybe seem a little bit mysterious to American Christians who probably never fast.
Well, like, exactly. I mean, we just wanted to show the diversity of observance. And also, I think it's so important to promote an interfaith dialogue in this country. America is a pluralistic nation, as we heard our president remind us of that fact. There are Jews, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, Christians, atheists. And I think in order to really have a more productive civil dialogue, it does behoove us to learn a little bit about each other. We'll be so surprised to see the commonalities.
How do you handle the hard questions that I imagine from watching the news non-Muslims and Muslims alike are going to have about where does this stuff come from when they see so much violence around the world?
Well, I have been asked, where is Osama bin Laden hiding? And that was an easy one to say. I have no idea where he is. But I think a lot of these questions just stem from this portrayal that that we see on TV, that Muslims are somehow extremists. And that's such a narrow sliver of the faith. We can't let extremists from any faith dominate the dialogue, because then there's just no hope of moving forward peacefully.
Imran, before we go, what are your plans after high school?
Oh, boy. Well, I'm hoping to go to college. I'm not quite sure where. Harvard, if you'll take me, I'm here. I'm very interested in either doing something with the medical field or something in public policy.
Your son, the doctor, Delara, do you think he has much of a chance?
Oh, he's constantly lecturing us about medicine, so yes, I think he'd be great.
Well, he's already the co-author of the American Muslim Teenager's Handbook with his mother, Delara Hafiz. Imran Hafiz and Delara Hafiz, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, John, for having us.
Thank you.